Now, I seem to have lost that very handy little button which says mute. Where's that gone
Oh, we keep hiding it.
then? I'm not sure where that is anymore.
We can do ourselves.
Can you do
I was going to
yourselves?
say, yeah,
If
we
you
can
can
do
do yourself,
ourselves.
do yourself. How peculiar. It normally is down there somewhere. Anyway.
I don't know how to mute myself on the phone.
Don't worry. We'll know it's you,
Okay.
Judy.
Yes, I'll be able
I've got to have
to.
somebody to blame. Don't
I
worry
can't
about
do
it at
that.
all. We can cope. That's a minor thing. All the things we've had to deal with. Let's just try one last thing. No. Okay. Rather than get rid of you all, I think we'll leave it.
Quit whilst you're
Okay,
ahead.
yeah, that's what I'm going to do. Good morning, everyone. And it's lovely to be with you on this 11th Sunday after Trinity. O Lord, open our lips, and
And
our
our
mouths
mouths
shall
shall
proclaim your
proclaim your
praise.
praise.
Welcome in the name of Christ. God's grace, mercy, and peace be with you, and
And
also with you.
also with you.
This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us
Let us
rejoice
rejoice
and
and
be
be
glad
glad
in
in it.
it. Come, let's worship God from the very heart of our being. Let us be open and respond to Him with all we are and all we hope to be. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
You call us out of darkness to live in your marvelous light. Let us say sorry to God for all the times we have failed to live in the light of Christ. Father, life is far from easy at times. We can experience pain in various forms through humiliation, rejection, or prejudice. Words can be like arrows piercing the heart. Actions can inflict wounds that can fester. Father, you offer everyone forgiveness. Please help us to forgive others. It can feel hard to forgive those who hurt us, but you can lead us in the process. Help us also to forgive others when we have been the ones inflicting pain. Sorry, not others, ourselves, very importantly, when we have been the ones inflicting pain. Forgive us, cleanse us,
Cleanse us,
draw us
draw us
closer.
closer.
Give us
Give us
healthy hearts
healthy
and
heart
minds
and mind
that reflect
that
you in all
you
we
in
say
all the
and
way we
do.
say.
Amen.
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 Jesus, you came in love, showering us with goodness despite our wrongdoing. You shed your blood to atone for our sins and reconciled us to the Father. Through your loving grace and mercy, you freely bless us with forgiveness. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Jean's got our first reading for us.
This reading is taken from Genesis chapter 45, beginning to read at verse 1. Joseph could stand it no longer. There were many people in the room, and he said to his attendants, "Out, all of you." So he was alone with his brothers when he told them who he was. Then he broke down and wept. He wept so loudly the Egyptians could hear him, and word of it quickly carried to Pharaoh's palace. "I am Joseph," he said to his brothers. "Is my father still alive?" But his brothers were speechless. They were stunned to realize that Joseph was standing there in front of them. "Please come closer," he said to them. So they came closer, and he said again, "I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into slavery in Egypt. But don't be upset and don't be angry with yourselves for selling me to this place. It was God who sent me here ahead of you to preserve your lives. This famine that has ravaged the land for 2 years will last 5 more years, and there will be neither plough nor harvesting. God has sent me ahead of you to keep you and your families alive and to preserve many survivors. So it was God who sent me here, not you, and he is the one who made me an advisor to Pharaoh, the manager of his entire palace and the governor of all Egypt. Now hurry back to my father and tell him, this is what your son Joseph says. God has made me master over all the land of Egypt, so come down to me immediately. You can live in the region of Goshen, where you can be near me with all your children and grandchildren, your flocks and herds, and everything you own. I will take care of you there, for there are still 5 years of famine ahead of us. Otherwise, you, your household, and all your animals will starve. Then Joseph added, look, you can see for yourselves, and so can my brother Benjamin, that I really am Joseph. Go tell my father of my honorable position here in Egypt. Describe for him everything you have seen, and then bring my father here quickly. Weeping with joy, he embraced Benjamin, and Benjamin did the same. Then Joseph kissed each of his brothers and wept over them, and after that they began talking freely with him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be
Thanks be
to
to God.
God.
Our psalm this morning is Psalm 133. How wonderful and pleasant it is when brothers live together in harmony. For harmony is as precious as the anointing oil that was poured over Aaron's head, that ran down his beard and onto the border of his robe. Harmony is as refreshing as the dew from Mount Hermon that falls on the mountains of Zion. And there the Lord has pronounced his blessing, even life everlasting. Glory
Glory
to
to
the
the
Father,
Father,
and
and
to the Son,
the Son,
and
and
to
to
the
the
Holy
Holy Spirit,
Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be
and shall
forever.
be forever.
Amen.
Amen.
And Jean's got our New Testament reading.
This reading is taken from Matthew chapter 15, verses, or starting to read at verse 10. Then Jesus called to the crowd to come and hear. Listen, he said, and try to understand. It's not what goes into your mouth that defiles you. You are defiled by the words that come out of your mouth. Then the disciples came to him and asked, Do you realize you offended the Pharisees by what you just said? Jesus replied, every plant not planted by my heavenly Father will be uprooted. So ignore them. They are blind guides leading the blind, and if one blind person guides another, they will both fall into a ditch. Then Peter said to Jesus, explain to us the parable that says people aren't defiled by what they eat. Don't you understand yet? Jesus asked. Anything you eat passes through the stomach and then goes into the sewer. But the words you speak come from the heart. That's what defiles you. For from the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, all sexual immorality, theft, lying, and slander. These are what defile you. Eating with unwashed hands will never defile you. Then Jesus left Galilee and went to the north of the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Gentile woman who lived there came to him pleading, have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David, for my daughter is possessed by a demon that torments her severely. But Jesus gave her no reply, not even a word. Then his disciples urged him to send her away. Tell her to go away, they said. She is bothering us with all her begging. Then Jesus said to the woman, I was sent only to help God's lost sheep, the people of Israel. But she came and worshipped him, pleading again, Lord, help me. Jesus responded, it isn't right to take food from the children and throw it to the dogs. She replied, that's true, Lord, but even dogs are allowed to eat the scraps that fall beneath their master's table. Dear woman, Jesus said to her, your faith is great, your request is granted. And her daughter was instantly healed. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks
Amen.
be to
Thanks
God.
be
Thank you.
to God. Picture the scene. Joseph is now an important person in Egypt who has helped prepare the country to survive the famine. He now stands looking at his brothers who have come from the neighboring land to buy grain. Joseph, whose life had changed at their hands, looks at them again as they ask him for help. How will he respond to the people who forced him from his home by selling him into slavery? At this point, Joseph, no longer able to keep his brothers at arm's length, weeps. His emotional response comes from his heart and his love for his brothers and family. It comes from the core of who he is, a man who draws his strength from God. His response is perhaps unexpected compared with the actions and attitudes we see around us today. In Joseph's shoes, would we seek revenge for what had happened? Joseph could have reminded the brothers of his dreams, where they bowed down to him. But instead, Joseph gives glory to God. He attributes his success to God, who has guided him throughout the ups and downs of his life, leading him to Pharaoh and successfully preparing for and managing the famine in Egypt. His trust and belief in God's guidance reassure his brothers that Joseph has forgiven them and he is looking for reconciliation. The writer of Genesis tells us that Joseph wept very loudly. He had done plenty of crying in previous chapters, but this is not a normal cry. It's a weeping wail of epic proportions. Joseph had risen from foreigner to a position of leadership over all of the Egyptian empire. Yet for a moment, he could not control himself. He sent away everyone so nobody could see. And yet, the weeping was so loud that it could be heard from those he sent away. I wondered what the emotion was behind the weeping. Was it sadness? Was it joy? Was it release, catharsis? Or was it just plain mysterious? Perhaps thinking about my own last crying bout can help think through Genesis chapter 45. I'm not referring to a few tears sliding down the cheek, but rather an ugly cry of biblical proportions. Perhaps that can help us understand this passage. Wailing is not something we plan to do, it just comes out. It is unstoppable. Like Joseph, we cannot control it. Actually, the loss of control for Joseph is a bit of a surprise given the context of Genesis and how Joseph's story has been recorded. Joseph is a brash youngest child, and his lack of filter had severe consequences in his life. But through it all, he consistently displays immense control. So the beginning of Genesis 45 provides a surprising shift, as, and I quote, Joseph could no longer control himself. He had reunited with his brothers, yet kept his identity secret. The reasons for the secrecy are uncertain. But when Joseph finally loses control, it immediately leads to a display of God's greater control. For most of the Joseph story, God is surprisingly absent. This is unique amongst the patriarchal accounts of Genesis. Abraham directly encounters God on multiple occasions, and God speaks promises. God also appears to Isaac and gives direct commands. God interacts with Jacob and even engages in a direct struggle with him that lasts throughout the night. But unlike the other patriarchs, Joseph has no such direct experience with God. Throughout Joseph's incredible journey from his childhood in Canaan to slavery, to prison, then royal authority, God is comparatively quiet. When Joseph weeps, a reaction showing his deep emotions at reuniting his brothers, he invites them to come closer to him, physically closer, to close the gap physically and in reconciliation. Then he acts with generosity that comes from who he is, shown in his steps of reconciliation and his offer to provide for them and the family through the remaining years of the famine. What about us? How do we respond to people or situations that have impacted our lives? All around us, we see people locally and go globally engage in revenge culture, which can encourage us to see this as an expected reaction. Is reconciliation a faraway dream, impossible to achieve? Where might we see opportunities to take steps forward to someone, to say sorry, to offer hope that reconciliation and restoration are possible? For some people, generosity, forgiveness, and reconciliation with people who have caused trauma and damage seem far away. Forgiveness is often a process. It's not always something we are able or ready to do. But asking God to help us with the next step, whatever the step is a start, knowing that the first step may be to ask God to be willing to consider any steps. Joseph's response to his brothers suggests that deep within us, we too can be people responding and acting with love and generosity. Those characters come directly from God, whom we hold in our hearts. Our challenge may be to find opportunities to act above and beyond what is expected of us and to continue to develop an attitude of generosity that comes from the heart of who we are. Much of Jacob's story pivots on the story of his son Joseph. And when we read Genesis 45, it's easy to focus all our attention on the relationship between Joseph and his brothers and revel in this story about family, forgiveness, and providence. Mercy is an important theme. However, what would this story look like through the lens of Jacob and not toward Joseph and his brothers? Interestingly, I think that this story then becomes a story about God's provision despite our shortcomings and mistakes, despite all the things that we would like to forget. In Genesis 45, the aging patriarch Jacob has sent his sons to find sustenance for the household during a prolonged famine in the land of Canaan. This same Jacob has experienced a life full of joys, wonder, and heartache. By this point, Jacob has journeyed to find his wife. He is immediately smitten by Rachel, but tricked into marrying her older sister, Leah. In order to earn the second daughter as a wife, he works some extra years for his uncle, Laban. Jacob, Leah, Rachel, and their two respective maidservants expand their family, and between them, birth 12 sons and one daughter. For all the joys that the family life may have brought Jacob, there are many incidences that were not so joyful. Indeed, Jacob's life is peppered with instances that in his old age he might well have wanted to forget. Jacob may want to forget how his daughter Dinah was raped and he did nothing about it. He did not defend Dinah's honor. Jacob may want to forget how his sons retaliated with terrible atrocities so that they eventually had to relocate to Beersheba. Jacob may want to forget how his beloved Rachel longed for a child and eventually died in childbirth. Certainly, Jacob may want to forget the day his sons returned home and told him that his favourite son, Joseph, had been killed by a wild animal. Then a famine threatens the livelihood of those living in the land of Canaan, and Jacob himself has no way to provide for his household, which now consists of his remaining wife, the handmaidens, and his 11 sons and their families. Indeed, in his old age, Jacob might earnestly regret the choices he had made in his lifetime. Yet, in Genesis 45, it seems God has decided to provide for Jacob and his family, despite all the things Jacob may want to forget. Indeed, by positioning his son Joseph in a place of power and influence in Egypt, God ensures Jacob does not perish during the famine. Indeed, Jacob and his family migrate to Egypt and are given the best of the land in Egypt by the Pharaoh. So, what can we learn from this? As humans, we forget. As mere mortals, we often do things we want others to forget. Furthermore, despite the command to love your neighbor, we do forget about others. But one lesson from Genesis 45 is, I think, that in all our forgetting, God has not forgotten us. We should be encouraged because when we read with an eye towards Jacob, this passage reminds us that we are not forgotten. Regardless of the obstacles created by systems and policies, God has not forgotten. Despite the death-dealing circumstances, God has not forgotten. When it seems as if there is nothing for us, nothing to sustain us, God has not forgotten. God is with us. Moreover, God may have been working through all our obstacles, all our challenges, all our circumstances, and all our missteps. Perhaps we should view the obstacles as opportunities to think differently. Perhaps we should view our challenges as chances to build physical or moral muscles that might otherwise atrophy. Perhaps reflecting on our missteps will help us make better choices in the future. We pray the Lord's Prayer every week. At the heart of the prayer, we pray, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Easy to say, but not always easy to do, especially so within the context of family or church, where sadly grievances can often last a long time. What do the stories of Joseph and Jacob say to us about the need for and the possibility of and the transforming power of forgiveness? We thank you for God's love, mercy, and forgiveness. And even though we forget, he has not forgotten us. Amen.
Okay.
Jean's going to lead us in our prayers.
Let us pray. God of peace, we pray for the hearts of those impacted so terribly by the violence and conflict, those places that make the headlines and those that are forgotten, remembering especially children traumatized by all they have seen and all they have lost. We pray for those who are displaced because of war, and we remember especially the people of Sudan, in their desperation and their suffering. The news reports numbers, but you, Lord, know each person's name and the hopes in their hearts. Loving God, hear
Loving
our
God,
prayer.
hear our prayer.
God of all creation, we pray from the heart for those impacted by severe weather and ongoing drought, for the people of China and Colombia, for those across Europe and Canada whose lives have been devastated by wildfires, for farmers in this country and the firefighters risking their lives day after day. Loving God, hear
God,
our prayer.
hear our prayer.
God of the young and the old, we pray from the heart for those waiting for exam results, for those who will be delighted and are confident about their next steps, and those who will be devastated and feel lost. We pray for all young people struggling to find their place in the world, and we pray for those who feel their life is slipping away, for those who have forgotten now they are older, for those who have lost their independence, and for those struggling to come to terms with diminishing mobility and declining health. Loving God, hear our prayer. Well, finally, we pray from the heart for our own families, our friends, and all those we worship alongside and pray with, and for Jacques, Mary, Derek, Anne, Brenda, Tony, Brian, Nigel, Audrey, John, Richard, Kathy, Bob, Mary, Ron, Jemima, Mary, Margaret, Colin, Richard, Hilary, Guy, Michelle, Sashay and family, Rackenford School, Tiverton High School, Tiverton Hospital, the family and friends of those who have recently died, Jonathan Leach. We pray for our companion animals and the natural world that enriches and inspires us. We pray for those who guide and shape our daily lives, and for those with the responsibility of shaping the life of our church and our nation. We pray for those we encounter in shops and in our local communities, and for those who have no one to pray for them by name. Loving God,
Loving
hear our
God,
prayer,
hear our prayer,
and may
and
the hearts
make
of
the
all
hearts
we
of
have
all
prayed
we
for,
have
prayed,
prayed
to
to be
be
found
touched
by
by
your joy,
joy,
hope,
hope, and courage
and courage
in Jesus'
in
name.
Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. And the collect for the day, the 11th Sunday after Trinity. God of glory, the end of our searching. Help us to lay aside all that prevents us from seeking your kingdom and to give all that we have to gain the pearl beyond all price. Through our Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Trusting in the compassion of God, as our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father
Our
in
Father
heaven,
in heaven,
hallowed be your
hallowed
name.
be thy name.
Your kingdom
Your
come,
kingdom come,
your will be
your
done
will be done
on earth as in
on
heaven.
earth
Give us
as
today
heaven.
our daily
Give us
bread.
today our
Forgive us
daily
our
bread.
sins as we forgive
For we
those
forgive those
who
who
sin
sin
against
against
us.
us,
Lead us not into
not into
temptation,
temptation,
but deliver us
but deliver
from
us from evil.
evil.
For
For the kingdom, the
the
power, and the
power,
glory
the
are yours,
glory are yours,
now and
now and
forever.
forever. Amen.
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 May God, who loves you and has chosen you, strengthen you to live as God's holy people. Jesus, you call us to follow, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst you and remain with you and those you love and pray for this day and always. Amen.
Amen.
Let us
Amen.
continue to hold before God the things we care about deeply, asking for his spirit's wisdom and guidance as we act and respond with generosity and love. Amen.
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 Thank you very much, everyone.
Thank you, Steph.
Thank you. Thank you, Steph.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank
Lovely
you
to be
so
with
much,
you.
Steph. Good evening.
Have a great day. See you
You
next
too.
week.
See you
For
next.
next
Have a good day,
week's
everyone. Have a
thrilling
good week.
instalment, I think we go on to Moses next week.
All right.
So we're being reminded of all these stories of
Yes.
our faith.
All the
It's
ones that have known
interesting,
that
isn't it?
way.
Because
Look
these are
in.
the stories Jesus would have known. He obviously didn't
Yeah,
know the New Testament because it
No,
hadn't been
not
written
yet.
yet.
Yeah. He was living
Look
it. Culture.
I have to remind myself that, you think, he didn't know any of that.
He made up.
Yeah,
Looking
he made
forward to
it.
it anyway.
Anyway,
Okay.
lots of love to you all. God
Bye-bye. Lots
bless.
of love.
Bye.
Yeah. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Have a good
Bye.
week.
Bye.
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 Bye, everyone. Thank you.
Bye-bye.